The Taming of the Shrew is one of Shakespeare's earliest plays and one of his most controversial. Everything, from the name of its heroine to its ideology of gender relations, is contested, to the extent that it's impossible even to begin with a neutral synopsis of the play. Here's why it's impossible. The Taming of the Shrew centres on the courtships of the two daughters of the Paduan merchant Baptista, Catherine and Bianca. The elder, Catherine, is apparently the shrew of the title, a woman who, depending on how you look at it, is feisty and independent, lonely and misunderstood, or strident and antisocial. Her father, who, depending on how you look at it, is either a worried widower or a patriarchal tyrant, has decreed that Bianca, who, depending on how you look at it, is either beautiful, gentle and agreeable, or exactly the kind of annoyingly insipid, simpering arm candy who you, like her sister, would want to slap, cannot marry until her older sister gets hitched. The stage is set for the entrance of Petruchio, who, depending on how you look at it, is a quirky and unorthodox guy who knows his own mind and wants a woman who knows hers, or a psychopathic bounty hunter with sadistic and misogynistic tendencies. So Catherine and Petruchio are paired off against Catherine's will, in a relationship which, depending on how you look at it, is crackling with mutual sexual tension along with a touch of shared S&M domination fantasy, or is cynical, loveless, and enforced by a violently patriarchal society. He treats her in a way which, depending on how you look at it, uses distinctly unfunny torture techniques including sleep deprivation, brainwashing, and starvation to bend her to his will, or is a zany courtship showing their mutual determination not to yield as an underlying equality beneath their revolutionary union. So, at the end of the play, Catherine is, depending on how you look at it, broken-spirited, parroting patriarchal ideology and utterly submissive, offering to put her hand under her husband's foot, or, ironically and unabashedly vocal, preaching the interdependence of husband and wife to earn herself half of a fat wager placed by her husband. What's more, this whole story is placed as a play within a play, so that a prefatory induction scene sets up this Petruchio and Catherine plot as a play performed for a drunken tinker, Christopher Sly. Sly is being tricked into believing he is a lord, and that a page dressed up as a woman is his wife, by some Bullingdon Club types who are having their bit of cruel fun. So, depending on how you look at it, the whole story is framed so as to be obviously implausible and fictional, with even the women as men in amateurish disguise, or as a play which radically aligns the lower classes and women as joint victims of a self-serving male establishment. And yes, the names are contentious as well. We used to call the play's female lead Kate, until feminist editors pointed out that this is not neutral either. When Petruchio meets for the first time the woman he is determined to marry, he greets her, "Good morrow, Kate, for that's your name, I hear." Her reply is clear, "Well have you heard, but something hard of hearing. They call me Catherine that do talk of me." Calling her Kate against her will is one of Petruchio's, depending how you look at it, lovable gestures of proprietorial intimacy, or a misogynistic microaggression. So, depending how you look at it, the title, The Taming of the Shrew, is a plot synopsis, a how-to guide, a raised eyebrow, or a satirical joke. Responses to this contradictory play have themselves always been contradictory. Writing at the end of the 19th century, the playwright George Bernard Shaw urged men and women to boycott it. No man with any decency of feeling can sit it out in the company of a woman without being extremely ashamed of the lord of creation moral implied in the wager and the speech put in the woman's own mouth. But perhaps unexpectedly, Germaine Greer praised the play in her feminist classic The Female Eunuch, suggesting that Catherine has the uncommon good fortune to find a husband who is man enough to know what he wants and how to get it, and further that the submission of a woman like Kate is genuine and exciting because she has something to lay down, her virgin pride and individuality. Perhaps Greer had been watching Franco Zeffirelli's film version of 1967, which shares this interpretation. Zeffirelli drew on the well-publicised and tempestuous off-screen relationship of lovers Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton as Catherine and Petruchio to imply that this was a passionate relationship in which pots and pans, but also underwear, would fly. But however much theatrical production and critical interpretation strive to settle the play's ambiguities, I want to stress something different here. The Taming of the Shrew prompts questions rather than answers them. The question of how to interpret the play is hardwired into its very structure and amplified in its ongoing reception. Shakespeare's talent for interrogation and scepticism is on display here in this early play, and its history has exemplified one of our most persistent and inevitable recourses when reading Shakespeare. We make his work mean what we want it to mean. Whether Catherine is indeed tamed by the end of the play thus becomes a sharper interpretive parable, how to read Shakespeare.